Today, Acts 10, starting at verse 17, this is unknown, but the story was told about Franklin Roosevelt, and he often endured long receiving lines at the White House. He complained that no one ever really paid attention to anything that he was saying, so one day during a reception, he decided to try this experiment. So each person that passed through the line and shook his hand, he murmured, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." Guests responded with phrases like, "Marvelous, keep up the good work, we're proud of you, God bless you, sir." It was not until he got to the very end of that line and the ambassador of Bolivia came through and he shook his hand and he murmured, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." The ambassador leaned over and whispered, "I'm sure she had it coming." You know, when you think about it, do you often hear what's being said? Do you process what someone is saying to you? Or are you just shaking your head and listening? Well, I'm praying and I'm hoping today that you're hearing what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. So to get us caught up, Cornelius was a Gentile. Cornelius had he was a centurion. He had a vision, and in the vision, was told that Simon Peter needed to come and speak to him. So he sent men to go get Simon Peter. In the meantime, as those three men were traveling to get Simon Peter, Simon was up on the roof. He also had a vision. And in the vision that he had, God had claimed that all things had been made clean. So this is where we're at. Verse 17 says, "Now while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate." So Peter didn't know what the vision meant. He didn't fully understand the vision, and therefore he is meditating or contemplating. He's thinking about this vision and what it might mean and how he's supposed to move forward now that he has seen this vision. And it says that while that is taking place, the men who had been sent from Cornelius, there were three of them, they were inquiring, so they had arrived. And they were seeking where Peter was, and they found the place. So verse 18, it says, "They called out and asked whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there." So they wanted to make sure that they were in the right place. So they asked, "Is this where Simon Peter is lodging?" And verse 19 says, "While Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are looking for you.'" So Peter is still caught up in his meditation. He has no clue that these men are looking for him. He doesn't know what has happened with Cornelius. He doesn't know that God sent a vision to Cornelius and Cornelius sent men to fetch Peter. All Peter knows is he was on the roof. If you go back and read it or remember, he was hungry. And he was waiting on lunch to be prepared. And this vision of a sheep was let down, all these animals. He was told, "Get up, kill and eat." He said he'd never eat anything unclean. "Don't call anything unclean that I have made clean," happened three times. So Peter is still sitting on the roof wondering what all this means while these men are making their way to him. And so Peter is unaware that they're at the gate. He's deep in thought. But notice what happened here in verse 19. It says, "The Spirit said to him." So the Holy Spirit spoke to Peter. It probably wasn't an audible voice. The Holy Spirit didn't say, "Hey, Peter, wake up, you big dummy. Somebody's looking for you." It probably spoke to his heart, just like he does to you and to me. When you're making your way through life, the Holy Spirit will speak to you and will tell you and lead you and guide you. So with that thought, I want to pause for a minute and I want to run through some scriptures to help us understand the Holy Spirit and the role that He plays in our lives. So let's start in Luke 12. We're going to come back here to Acts. But Luke 12, starting in verse 12, here's what it says. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. So the Holy Spirit is a teacher, and He will teach you what you need to know, and He'll help you say what you need to say when the time comes. John 14 and verse 26, the Bible tells us this. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit is called the Helper. He's here to help you live the Christian life and to be pleasing to God. So He will help you by teaching you what you need to know and bringing to remembrance the things that you have put in, stored up in your heart and in your mind. Acts 1:8 says this, it's part of the Great Commission. And it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come up on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So when you receive the Holy Spirit in your life, He will give you the power to stand up and share your faith with all the people of the world, wherever you're at. Whether you're here, whether you're on the other side of the earth, it doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit will give you the ability to witness the fact that you know Jesus and that He has worked mightily in your life. As you keep looking here, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 4 tells us this. Hebrews 2 verse 4 says, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. I want you to notice what that says. Is each person has a spiritual gift. If you're saved, if you're born again, you have a spiritual gift. It is not a gift of your choosing. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit's choosing according to God's will to give to you. I've heard so many in churches say these gifts are like a menu, and you ought to read through these gifts of the Holy Spirit and pick and choose the ones that you want and pray for them, and God will give them to you. Well, that's not what the verse says. The verse says they're distributed according to the will of God. He gives you what you need in order to benefit the body of Christ at this moment in this place. And so He will give them to you accordingly. But the main thing you need to realize, you're gifted. As a believer, you're gifted for some purpose of God, and He wants you to know that you're gifted. And then as you keep looking, it says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So you find here that the Holy Spirit comes up on men and He moves them to speak on God's behalf. That's how we got the Bible. Is God moved in these men's lives and they wrote it down and they gave us scripture. Therefore, what we have here, we know for certain is God's word. You can bank on it being God's word. So the Bible also gives us another verse that you might be curious about. Romans 8 and verse 9 says this. Romans 8 verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. So simply put, according to Romans 8 and verse 9, if you do not have the Holy Spirit working in your life, you don't belong to God. Plain and simple. If you've come to Jesus and you've been born again and you've turned to Him in faith based upon what He did on the cross, providing His sacrifice, His blood, His life in exchange for yours, if you haven't received that, then you haven't received the Holy Spirit. And therefore, because you don't belong to God. If you did receive that in faith, and the Holy Spirit was placed in your life, and you had the Holy Spirit living in you, it's pretty simple. If you have the Holy Spirit, you're born again, you're a child of God. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to God. And you're still in need of grace and faith in order to help you come to know that. You can't have the Holy Spirit before you come to salvation. I hear people say all the time, this person was given a spiritual gift of music. Well, first of all, music is not listed in the Bible as a spiritual gift, but it's not a spiritual gift, it's a talent. If they were born with it, it's a talent that they were given by God at birth. A spiritual gift only comes when a person is saved and the Holy Spirit takes up residence in their life. That's when they're given a spiritual gift. So without Jesus, you don't have spiritual gifts because you don't have the Holy Spirit. After Jesus, you have spiritual gifts. If you didn't know that, maybe you need to pursue what it means to have a spiritual gift and what yours are and learn how to use them. And maybe you need to become active in using that gift in order to benefit God's kingdom and to bring glory and honor to Him. Here's what He says in Luke 11, starting in verse 9. He says this, "And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" So you see what that's telling us? It's comparing humans to God. And if humans who are wicked by nature, sinful by nature, who have fallen under the curse, know how to give good gifts to their children, don't you think God knows how to give you what you need in your time of need? And He says He will give you the Holy Spirit to help you during your time of need. And so here, Peter is up wondering and he's pondering, and the Holy Spirit will help him know exactly what it is that he needs. So it says here, the Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, "There are three men who are seeking you." The Spirit lets him know, hey, these three are looking for you. So you need to go and see what they want. Verse 20 says, "Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." So he's given specific instructions to arise and go. The Holy Spirit not only instructs him that these three people are looking for him, but further instructs him, you get up and you go to them. And he says, go down there, find them, see what it is they want. Don't ignore them. Don't hide out from them. And he says, go with them. So in other words, Peter, he is confirming to Peter, don't worry about what is going to happen. Of course, Peter don't know who these people are. He doesn't know what is happening. He don't know who is coming. All he's told is there's three men, go with them. If he knew the details of what was about to happen, he might run the other way, but he didn't because he didn't know the details. And it says here, this the ESV, and the ESV states to go accompany them without hesitation. Your Bible may say doubt nothing. So in other words, he's letting him know, don't allow any thoughts to come into your mind to distract you or cause you not to want to go, but you be confirmed in what it is that I'm telling you and you follow through with that. So some people look at this as Peter was actually having doubts based on verse 19 and how in verse 19 it says he was pondering. He was trying to figure it out. He didn't know what was happening. So he was working to get it all figured out. And so some people connect that to he was doubting. He's not doubting, but the Holy Spirit is just letting him know, don't hesitate. Don't wait. You do exactly what they're wanting you to do because, and he makes a statement here at the end of verse 20, he says, for I have sent them. So what is happening, he says, is from him. Now let me ask you something. When you go back and you read Cornelius, if you remember that, says the angel came and the angel was speaking on behalf of God. Angels are messengers of God. And the angel was speaking on God's behalf and he said, send for Peter. So God told him to send these three to go get Peter. Now you just have this statement here, the Holy Spirit speaking to Peter, and the Holy Spirit says, I have sent them. Who sent them? God or the Holy Spirit? Well, it's pretty simple when you look at the Trinity, and a Trinity being one God who exists in three persons, the Father, the Son, whom we know as Jesus, and the third person in the Trinity is the Holy Spirit. He is all God. We don't see him. He may be moving among us right now. He may be touching your heart. He may be pointing out something in your life that needs to be done. He may be encouraging you. He may be healing you. He may be doing something that the rest of us are unaware of. But the Holy Spirit is still a third person, the third person in the Trinity. And he is still all God, even though we don't see him. We see his presence. We feel his move. We can't see him. We can't put our finger on him, but we know he's there. So the Holy Spirit is the same as the Father, the Son. They're all part of God. It's all the Godhead. So the Holy Spirit says here, I sent him. The Holy Spirit is the one who sent him. So he says to Peter, go with them because I've sent them. Don't you wish that life was this easy? That the Holy Spirit says, hey, do this or do that? I don't know how many times I have prayed that God would not give me a choice. That I prayed that God would just make me do it. Sometimes I think life would be easier if God would just pick me up and put me somewhere and say, do it, rather than give me a choice in doing it. But that's not the way God works. God wants us to choose to obey him. He wants us to choose to follow him. He wants us to be obedient in doing his will. And he allows the Holy Spirit to interact with us to help us see what his will is, to move in that direction. And when we surrender to go in that direction, he blesses us for doing that. And he gives us the things that we need in order to accomplish that task. All we have to do is listen and seek the Lord daily. And he will be clear and you'll understand. One time, it was years ago, I wasn't pastoring. I was new to the ministry, but I was preaching Sunday night at our home church in Tower. And I got up, I preached. When I finished, the Holy Spirit, I was on my way home. The Holy Spirit spoke to me just like Peter here in my heart and said, somebody needs to talk to you. I didn't know who that somebody was. I didn't know what was going on. I go home, I sit down, I'm waiting. I'm sitting around in a chair waiting for whoever it is that the Holy Spirit said needs to talk to me. And I'm getting tired and I'm waiting and I'm starting to doze off and my head is bobbing. And when I was in the Marine Corps, they always told us that that's one fight you're never going to win. That you're going to get knocked out if you try to win that fight. Just go to bed or stand up or whatever. So anyway, I'm struggling. Sharon says, why don't you go to bed? Well, I knew I couldn't go to bed. I knew somebody needed to talk to me. So I'm struggling to stay awake. All of a sudden, the phone rang. I went in there and answered it. And it was someone from another church who needed me to come and preach the next Sunday. So I knew, I just knew somebody needed to talk to me. So I agreed, got the information, told them I'd be there. And I walked through the living room, Sharon sitting on the couch. I said, now I can go to bed. She said, what do you mean, now you can go to bed? I said, the Holy Spirit had me staying up because I knew somebody was going to call and needed to talk to me. I wish I could say it is that easy every time, but it's not. And through the years, I have found that the times when it's difficult to hear the Holy Spirit is the times when I get in the way, or when I allow the world to creep in the way, and I allow things to take up my schedule, and I don't hear as clearly as I should hear because I've allowed something to replace or hinder that communication line that I have with God. And I think it's the same with each of us. If you can't hear God clearly, there may be something in the way. So here it says in verse 21, he says, and Peter went down to the men and he said, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming? So Peter goes down, he obeys what the Holy Spirit tells him, and he goes down and he says, I'm Peter. What is it that you want? You're looking for me? Here I am. He has no idea what's happening. He just knows that he needs to go. Verse 22, they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you, come to his house, and to hear what it is that you would have to say. So he is told of this story of Cornelius, that the angel instructed him that he is supposed to come, he's supposed to invite Peter. Peter was supposed to go without any doubting. The problem is, Peter is a Jew, Cornelius is a Gentile. Jews and Gentiles had no dealings with one another. In fact, there was so much hatred towards each other that the Jews would go around Gentile land because they didn't want anything to do with it. So God's having to work a great miracle. Remember, Acts is a transitional book, and so God is having to work some things out in amongst them. And so it says this in verse 23, so he invited them in to be guests. The next day he rose and he went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. So he invited them not only to come in, but to spend the night, which is unheard of. That's a miracle in itself that a Jew would take Gentiles in, a Roman soldier in, and allow them to take up lodging within his household. So that's a big step for Peter as a Jew. And it says the next day he went with them just as the Holy Spirit had described to him. He didn't go alone. According to Acts 11 verse 12, it says, the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. The six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. So he says, he went along with six fellow believers who traveled with him. So Peter went with them. Now here's something I want to ask you. Do you hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you today? If you can say, no, I don't, then there's two things that you need to think about. First of all, are you in a relationship with Jesus? If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, if you haven't been born again, if you haven't been saved, then you're not going to be able to hear clearly what it is God's wanting you to hear, because he's crying out to you to come to the faith, to believe in him. And until you do that, you're not going to hear anything else. Secondly, think about if you say, yes, I know I've been born again. I know I'm saved. And if I died today, I know I'll go to heaven. But I still don't hear the Holy Spirit very well. It's pretty simple. You have a bad connection. You've allowed sin and stuff, the world, to creep in, and it's hindered the communication lines. So you simply need to clean out some stuff. You need to repent. You need to get rid of things that shouldn't be there so that you can hear God clearly. But maybe you're one who says, yes, I can hear the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I know when He's speaking. I know it's Him. I know exactly what He's saying. Then can you say without a doubt that you're following in obedience? That when He tells you to do something, that you step forward and you say, here I am. I want to do this. And I'm going to do this because you've asked me to do this. So it's a matter of us being obedient. The Holy Spirit doesn't just tell us stuff so that we know. He tells us stuff so that we can act. And He wants you to become part of a bigger picture of something that you don't really understand. You don't need to know when, where, who, why, how, none of that. All you need to know is I heard and I'm responding with a positive yes, I'm going to do it. You may not ever know why you're supposed to do that. All you need to know is that God is asking you, He's speaking to you to do something, and you need to go forth and you need to do that. Robert Herron said this. He said, good listening is like tuning a radio. For the best results, you can only listen to one radio station at a time. He said, trying to listen to your wife while looking over reports or reading the newspaper or a magazine is like trying to listen to two radio stations. They end up becoming distorted and the message is frustrated. He said, listening requires a choice. A choice that you have to make. And the choice is, where am I going to place my attention? Where am I going to place my attention? Do you want to tune in to the one who is speaking to you and choose to place all your undivided attention upon that person to hear that message, receive that message, and understand that message? Or do you want to continue doing whatever it is that you're doing, reading the paper, watching TV, or doing labor, and try to hear that message on top of that and let it become distorted and frustrated? Simply put, if you want to hear the Holy Spirit, you must be saved, you must be right with the Lord, and you must make a choice that I'm going to listen and I'm going to put my undivided attention upon God and allow Him to speak to me. I hope that's what you're saying today. I hope you do so. Let's pray together. Father, we love You so much. We thank You so much for Your love for us. Thank You for the Holy Spirit who has been sent into this world in order to seal us, to confirm to us of our redemption. Lord, I pray for those who don't know You as Lord and Savior that You would draw them to You right now in Jesus' name, that You'd do a great work. I know that You're calling out to them to come and be saved. Lord, for those who are saved but they're in a bad standing, they've allowed things to creep in. Lord, we know that Your word tells us plainly to repent, that times of refreshing will come. I pray that You would draw them to You for repentance. But most of all, Lord, we want to hear You. We want to hear Your word, and we want to do exactly what it is that You lead us to do. We love You, Lord, and we're grateful for Your Holy Spirit and the work He does in our lives. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.